Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very V-A-R-Y Necessary Podcast. Hey!
Yay.
Hey! What's up?
It's just us again.
It's just us again. That just sound, Hold on. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's that watering down and minimizing.
Yeah. Okay.
Hold on.
Here we go again. Yes.
It's the... Hold on, I'm trying to think of something for a duo.
I don't know. But it's us.
Yeah, and we doing it.
Susie is out today. Yeah. But she gonna be back soon. Yeah. We miss her.
You know, every time Gemini and Cancer season come around,
we get missing.
Them niggas get missing.
We get missing. Because
they be on a mission.
For days. Weeks.
Acting like
months,
acting like little
whole season,
acting like you remember when we was little, right? And your birthday was big shit, right? Where'd you have a birthday party at? Like,
I had
a birthday party at Pizza Hut. Yes. I had a birthday party at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
So, but,
Showbiz Pizza. It was Showbiz before it became Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, I ain't never had.
I
think my brother
and the house party.
So I've been there, but I never. Had a party there.
Okay.
So, you know, we thought that was phenomenal that we actually had a birthday party mm-hmm. where our friends could come and hang out with us outside of school, right? Mm-hmm. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that we have some money and no rules and our parents not telling us what to do, the birthday parties have gone out of fucking control, people. We taking,
what they doing?
We doing photo shoots for our birthdays.
We spending $10,000
on birthday parties. We going on.
And you could only make $10,000 in a month.
We going on trips out of the country. This is way beyond a goddamn $150.
I'm trying to figure out what kind of work they doing.
Pizza Hut. McDonald's party.
Speaking of money,
mm-hmm.
I watch a lot of HGTV, home buyers, flipping.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And when you hear these people, employment, you be like, what? How y'all afford this $400,000 house being a waitress and an intern? I'm like, I'm doing something wrong in life.
Yeah.
She's a waitress and he's an intern at some medical unit. Well, not even a medical university. It's somewhere.
Well, you know, I'm guessing that
it may be a paid internship, but still.
Right. So he's probably soon to be a doctor. So he's interning at a hospital, probably. So he has a salary.
Yeah, but gee, she's a freaking waitress.
Okay, well, guess what?
I'm doing something wrong in life.
Because
I should have had the grand birthday parties.
Do you know that there are waitresses in big cities that make six figures, Vaughn?
Sign me up.
Don't knock.
Put me in the game, coach.
Don't knock the hustle.
Put me in the game.
There are waiters and waitresses in big cities.
I need to work for these
that make
8-star hotels because they pass 5-star.
There are teachers. There are soldiers in the military. There are actual people who work a 9-to-5 job that work in the community as wait staff and make good money. Prime example. Let me tell you. So there are two girls. There's a local VFW in our city, right?
Mm-hmm.
These two young ladies come in at 5 o'clock when they get off their federal jobs. Two young ladies. They've been on their federal jobs for many years. They've mm-hmm. also been waitresses at the VFW for maybe about 10, 15 years, two of them together. So I'm sitting up there. You know me. I got to ask 50,000 questions. I'm like, how in the world do you have the energy to do this? Like, right. You done worked a whole full work day and you done come in here and work the club all night. She said, baby, this money's so good. She said, I make more money working here than I do on my full-time day job.
But you need the benefits and stuff. That's
so So I need the benefits and different things here. But they tip so good at the VFW.
Well, darn it.
It would behoove you not to get a job there.
I'm about to start mixing. I'm gonna get on TikTok so they can teach me.
I think you would be a really good waitress.
Oh, no. I wouldn't be a good waitress because my mind, I don't remember things. But I think I'll be a good hostess.
You ain't going to make no money as no hostess.
I could be at the bar. But you got to give me one order at a time. Don't be shouting out no orders to me.
Ma'am, that's not how it works.
You better use a kiosk put your orders in a kiosk. That's what they need. Instead of people standing up at the bar.
So they need. So everybody needs a kiosk where they could say red shirt wants.
Yeah, so when I do your drink, you better put the description. You know how you order online? They say what kind of vehicle you park coming in, a black four-door, a black truck. Bartenders, restaurants, what y'all need is a kiosk. Instead of having all these people standing at the bar yelling at the waiters and waitresses and the bartenders.
And they all overwhelmed
and trying to get it in where they can fit in. Have a kiosk and have people to pre-order their stuff. And as you make it, ain't nobody yelling at me. Because, see, I'll get mad and walk off.
Yeah, I get kind of pissed off at
and
the bar.
And then as you order, and you know, you can have one person that do like, you know, little simple things. Like, I need a cup of water. Because if you need some water and they dehydrate, you don't want nobody to pass out. So have somebody just deliver water.
Okay.
But if you want alcohol, then you need to go through the kiosk.
Okay.
And put your order in, your description, yes.
And they have a number.
Something.
So, yeah. We always finding ways to come up with new ideas to make life simpler.
I shouldn't have said nothing.
Now you're going to put it on paper. You're going to make your own business.
Yeah.
Well, you thought of it, so nobody's going to be able to
think
about it. Because... like me and you, we're ADDers. I don't like standing at bars giving my order. It's very overwhelming. People are coming, moving in front of me. And I'm like, what the hell? I've been standing up here.
Right.
Like, that's crazy to me. But so it should be a better system to doing it. But if you in a crowded club, I don't know. That's crazy.
Mm.
Or... you can get the drink made. Once the drink is done.
Or have stations.
Have the waitress stand at a certain station and you have to meet her there. Hey, did you order the Jack Daniel's so-and-so? Okay, and then they can pay online. Ain't no exchange of hands.
Right.
I like that idea. Let's come up with it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I think it's a really good idea.
I think so, too.
Okay. Yeah.
And you ain't got to worry about people stealing from you.
Because
now all the money came through the app.
Yep. It is electronic funds transfer.
There you go. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get back on the subject of what we supposed to talk about today. Because that shit ain't got nothing to do with this old spicy little TikTok that I found the other day. But baby, when I found that thing, it was like, whoa.
You know, it is very core deep. I said core deep because when you think of core, you got to put emphasis on core. That thing was core. It was deep to the core. I said core deep, but it's deep to the core. It was so profound. And I love people who exercise the brain and make you think deeper and make you, because we don't use our brains to the capacity that we need to use it. But when you get information like that and they have you and you absorb it and you start thinking and you go back into childhood and you start going back to a point in time in life, like when did this occur or how did this occur? And for someone to bring it to light, that was deep.
It was.
Because you know what? We try to forget about a lot of things that we have gone through in our lives as children.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been told to what?
Suck it up, sweep it under the rug.
It is what it is. It's over with. Let it go.
Move on.
And sometimes, and we try to do that because we know that we need to do better for ourselves. But then when you really don't understand how this became or you lost sight of it, he brought back some... He triggered
memories.
Yes.
And the understanding of... this might be why I am the way I am.
So never judge people for what you see, because you don't know their story. You can't say let it go, forget it. It's not that easy to say let it go,
everything,
forget it.
Everything needs to be dealt with. The same way everything has a beginning or a start of something, everything should have closure.
If that person want to let it go and forget it, then that's on them. But who am I to tell you to let it go and forget it?
Right.
That's wrong for me. Now, if you want to let it go and forget it, that's cool. So, engineer, roll that beautiful bean footage.
Crazy.
Oh. Okay. Kidding. Well, we almost there. It's okay.
Oh. We'll edit this part of the show.
Around 10 minutes mark.
Mm-hmm.
Not her jaw, not her back, not her expectations. We're going to talk about a woman who never got to unclench. Not her jaw, not her back, not her expectations. She'd been bracing since the age of 7, but for what? For everything. For hyper-individualism. Because she learned early no one's coming, so she came for herself. Carried her brothers, cooked for her mother, held her daddy's moods like frail glass. It's okay, I got it. It became a full language and no one ever stopped her. Because they needed her strength, so she learned to never need. And now she's in a relationship where she still pays her own half, drives herself home, cries alone, and says it's easier this way. But then she also braced for overcompensation because she shows up flawless, edges laid, degrees earned, and posture perfect. Because every room says, you're only worthy if we're impressed. So she overdid, overdelivered, and outshined. But now, guess what? She can't tell the difference between being respected and being performed for. She can't tell the difference between being respected and being performed. Her nervous system doesn't believe in rest. Her joy needs proof. Her beauty must apologize for existing. And then hold on, because she's still anxious. There's more on there. Because then there's a distrust of systems and partners. Hospitals lied. Schools punished her brilliance. The police didn't come. Pastors protected abusers. Partners chose ease over truth. And now she smiles at her therapist but doesn't tell her. She cuddles her boyfriend but doesn't lean. She shows up to work but never softens. Because every system trained her not to be safe, only to be smart. But then she was told, don't cry in front of them. Don't let them say you're angry. Don't give them that power. So now she says, I'm fine, even when her stomach knots and her throat closes. She doesn't cry until the car door shuts. She doesn't scream until the pillow is over her mouth. She doesn't ask, she just, and love can't find her because she's wrapped in a silence that sounds like strength but tastes like grief. And then, right, a spirit of self-sacrifice starts to talk, right? Because she gave her food to her little cousins. Gave her weekends to help her aunties. Gave her 20s to a man who never saw her clearly. She was always taught, love is what you give away until there's nothing left. So she stayed too long, worked too hard, and said yes too many times. And now when somebody loves her back, she doesn't know how to let it land. She looks in the mirror and sees flaws before her own fucking face. Too dark, too loud, too much, too little. She never felt like enough because the world whispered every day, you would be lovable if you were easier to love. So she over-edits her photos. She over-apologizes at work, overthinks every text. And then even when she wins, she doesn't believe she's earned it. They called her strong, even when she was shattering, especially then. Then said, you always bounce back, so she did. Even when she shouldn't have. Even when she should have sat down and screamed. So now, she can't stop grinding. Even when her spirit begs her to rest. Because her entire identity was built on surviving storms and never having a sense of sunlight, of the sun at all. She never got to unclench because everything she was praised for was killing her slowly. The silence, the smile, the sacrifice. This wasn't growth. It was armor that rusted into skin. But now she's restructuring because she feels safe. Because she's tired of dying in installments. And you know what that means? You know what that means? Unclenching, crying, saying no, receiving. Relearning how to be held, breaking open without breaking down. She's not healing to become softer for the world. She's healing to stop freezing in her own damn home.
Ooh. That was a lot.
That was a lot. Like, we have to break and dissect that piece by piece.
I know. And that's why I wanted to try to get the transcript for the actual TikTok, because it was so much information. It really was. And then you can't really, like, it's like pieces you miss. And I couldn't really break down everything, but there were like certain parts of it that just really resonated with me. Like, could you really think of something that just kind of hit home with you, Vaughn?
So let's just start at the very, very beginning. Mm-hmm. You were the eldest of your siblings.
I was.
I was always the youngest of my sibling, because I have one. But I grew up in a house with other cousins. But me and like maybe two of my other cousins were always the youngest, right? Mm-hmm. So I think about my older cousins. And let's start at the very beginning of what he said. When you were younger, you had to cook for your brothers. You had to clean the house. You were everything that the mother was supposed to be in that particular time frame, right? Because mm-hmm. mom and dad were at work, or mom was at work, or dad may have been at work. I'm not sure how your household was set up. Mm-hmm. But then if the responsibility failed on either the responsible child or the eldest child. Mm-hmm. And you think about throughout the entire transition of that child from elementary, okay? I think about my cousin from when I was younger, that stayed with them up until they became parents. And guess what? It's the same cycle. But you did not have a break. You had to be a decision maker.
You didn't have a childhood.
You did not have a childhood. You had to discipline. Mm-hmm. When you didn't have the authority to discipline, but you were put in a position to make decisions, to be that responsible person. Who wants that type of responsibility as a child? No child wants that kind of responsibility unless they're just a heathen. Outside of that, no, because some people thrive on, control, whatever. Even as children, some children thrive on control. But anyway, outside of that, you have equipped me to have such control. Now that I grow up, you can't tell me anything differently because you have trained me to be this person. Now that I'm, you don't see the love being reciprocated. So you don't know how to love. You think giving your all is love, but really that's just an act of service that you're performing. It's not tangible. You're not receiving the things in return. And I just look at some of my older cousins and I'm like, this hit home, even from me, from my lenses, looking into the situation. But then later on in his spiel, I found myself in a position where you're giving your all to a person, thinking that's what you're supposed to do because that's what we were told, that you are to love with everything in you, but you're not getting that love back, whether it's from home, from a significant other, from wherever. Work, it doesn't matter. You're not being respected back in the same manner that you were supposed to give it out. So a lot of that hit, a lot.
I think what really hit with me was having the armor that turns into skin. Having to realize that nobody's coming to save you. You got to do everything yourself because it's just you. It's really just you. And I will say, I am a very hard woman, hard to deal with, hard in my emotions because of, yeah, I pretty much, oh, he gives the thumbs up. I have my softness about me. I feel like I have
you do have your softness, but you are scared to put that on Front Street all the time because you're so guarded.
I am.
You're very guarded. of putting, because it's like I'm putting too much of who I really am mm-hmm. to the world. I don't want them to see me for who I really am on that side of the fence.
I don't allow men to see me cry. And the video said that, like, you will put your face in the pillow and scream. You will put your feelings on the back burner mm-hmm. for the sake of the presentation of, I'm not going to allow this to make me appear as vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I do that as a Scorpio. I can say that it does not. We are very emotional people. However, we are very guarded just naturally. Mm-hmm. And I am very guarded, especially with men, because these are the men who have abused me. I've had many men to love me, but I've also had many men to abuse me. The abuse doesn't resonate with me like women who have abused me versus men who have abused me. So it's not as hard for me to be vulnerable with women as it is hard for me to be vulnerable. Well, I say vice versa. It's easier for me to be vulnerable with women versus showing no emotion with men. I never want a man to feel like he has gotten the best of me, because men have gotten the best of me when I was not able to protect myself. So I don't allow a man to say, you know, I'm heartbroken behind him, that he's affected me emotionally. I don't even let men feel that they're that important to me. And in my mind, I've made it that way because I don't want them to be that important to me, because I'm expecting them to do some fuck nigga shit to me. And as soon as they do it, I knew it was coming. I knew you was going to be just what I thought you was, motherfucker. So now when I'm dating and men do something crazy to me, I'm not hurt. It doesn't surprise me. I'm a little taken back, because I give them a little bit of trust factor, but I never fully.
It doesn't disappoint you.
No, not anymore. You have to remember, my first representation of a man was my father. I love my dad. Yes. Did my dad always do what he needed to do as a provider and a caregiver for me? No. So when men don't do what they are supposed to do for me, it doesn't surprise me. The man who brought me to this earth didn't do what he was supposed to do. So I had to do it for myself. Mm-hmm. And I will continue to do for myself. So whatever man I'm involved with now, anything he does for me is extra. I can maintain myself. The only man who has taken care of me and done what he was supposed to do for me and made me feel safe and made me feel vulnerable, or made me want to listen to him and follow his directions, was the man that I married. He's not here anymore. So do I feel safe doing that with anyone else? No, never. And that man had to break walls down. The Great Wall of China had to be broken down in order for him to get to that place. But baby, when he got me to that place, a submission, I was like, I couldn't believe myself. I was like, I'm really listening to this motherfucker. I'm really entrusting. But it takes a different approach. Mm-hmm. Me and my husband had a conversation one time. He said, hey, you got this salon. You got to be home with your husband and your daughter. You can't work your nursing job right now. You got a new business you pulling off the ground. I ain't saying I don't want you to work, because you worked hard for your nursing license. So
I remember I need you to
scale back.
Step back from nursing for a little bit.
He said, give me 6 months. I said, well, at this point in time, I'm making like $45,000. I was working for the state. It ain't no money. So my husband said, hold that thought. My husband went in the back, came back, and put $40,000 in my hand. He said,
that's your year salary.
That's there you go. He said, does that make you feel any better about pulling back? God damn right. And I know I can always go back to nursing because there's always a job there. My job happily accepted me back in 6 months. But I appreciate that he gave me that foundation and that stability to say, it's okay for you to take a step back. There were times, emotion wise, where I didn't want to say the things that I needed to say or do the things that I needed to do. And my husband would grab me in his arms, kiss me on my forehead and say, let go. Let go.
Well, he was intentional. I'm right here. That's what it was. He was.
I'm right here. Nobody's going to hurt you.
Yeah, he was very
intentional. Nobody is going to do anything to you. Your life is not going to change for the worse as long as I am here. He said, even in, and he prepared me for this. He said, even in my death, I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. That's what he said. And that man never lied to me. Never lied to me a day in his life. Even when he was out here cheating. You don't want to know. I'm doing some shit I don't need to be doing. And I don't even know why I'm doing it. But I was so appreciative for you just being honest with me. Versus lying to me that regardless of what you was doing that I wasn't in agreement with, just the fact that you're honest with me, I can tolerate this better. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, he would have been jacked up.
yeah, but if you think about it, Vaughn, everybody has cheated you in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. Oh, yeah. Even down to your mother. Parents, sisters, brothers, you've always been cheated on. So it's all in how you look at it. Yes. He made me see a bigger perspective of how was I was just looking being at honest things.
And then it's up to you how you handle that,
right?
That news, that honesty.
So I would say he was my best teacher. So for the men that I can't be vulnerable for, it's not to say that I hate all men, because that was the one man who I trusted and I love with my whole heart, and he could get anything from me. But men are my vice. I can't even with work. Because they mentioned work about, you know, having to overperform. I do feel like I have to overperform on my job because I have to make them feel as though they need me.
And you have to make it seem like you're not a threat. You have to make it seem that, because if you go to work, right, and you perform, you're not even trying to overperform. You're just performing. To someone, that's going to be a threat. So guess what? Now you have to not necessarily dumb yourself down, but you can't make it so obvious that you know what you're talking, because the moment you go against, not really go against, the moment that you start making sense, you're the problem, because it wasn't their idea, or because it came from you, or it's because just simply who you are, just your being, okay? And so now you have to find ways to, like they say, your nervous system. You have to find ways to make yourself still feel like you're a part of the team when you already know that you're not a part of the team, and you have to make yourself seem friendly when you are already friendly, but you got to do it in a whole nother direction. It's like you got to play this psychological game just so you can blend. It's not even fit in, just so you can blend.
I don't blend, though.
You don't blend, but I guarantee you, with someone that's always watching, there's going to be someone that is always waiting for something to happen to say, I told you so, or if you do something wrong, they're quick to say, oh, I got it. I have it figured out. Like, you can't always perform to the way that you want to perform at work, or you're going to be looked at as the problem. Well, trust me.
Yeah, I know. And I am the problem at work. I am. I'm the problem. I'm the problem in a relationship. I'm the problem at work. I am the black sheep of the family. I am the problem. And that's because when I was younger, I was this person who blended, who screamed in the pillow, who did what I was told. However, in coming into my beingness as a woman,
mm-hmm.
I want to be the problem. I do. Because
you're tired of the shadow.
There you go. And at work, I'm the one that I have friends at work, but I'm not the most liked person at work because they know I go above and beyond in my job. I want to overperform because I want y'all to see you have to work up to my expectation. If you're not working to my expectation, bitch, you ain't doing enough.
But you know, even that, they're going to find a way to downsize that. You know, they're going right. to find a way.
And that's what I want them to do. So when you feel like I'm becoming a problem and then you send me somewhere else and now I'm there and I'm still overperforming and doing what I need to do because I'm always an asset on all my jobs. Now things are not getting done there. I actually left my job. And when I left, my supervisor called me in 1 week and said, do you like it over there? Do you want to come back? I need you.
Because they knew.
Exactly.
They knew.
Exactly. You know, my supervisor calls me her MVP. I'm her franchise motherfucking player. That is my stance in everyone's life. I, as a Scorpio, need to be the most important person to my man. I need to be the most important person on my job. I need to be the most important friend because you are going to give me the love and the respect and the value that I am due because I know what I am to people.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want is for people to be what I am to them. Give me what I'm giving you. Is that a realistic expectation, though? Hell no.
It should be a realistic.
It should be.
But
you would think.
Yeah, you would think that it's a realistic expectation. And there's nothing wrong with, like, everything you just said seems like it should fall in line like that.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? It's not.
So is it really a problem? Because I am.
But you're really not the problem. It's them that are the problem.
See, I just told you this morning, everything we know that is real is not. The wordplay, the terms and how we define things. Look at what we view as a problem. Something that goes against the grain of what's normal to society. But why is weird and why is quote unquote problematic bad? Why is it that I can't just be different? I just can't think different. I can't move different. I'm still getting the same results or better. But why is it bad?
You know what? It was something I saw on a reel on Instagram. And this girl said, let me be me. I don't want to talk proper. I don't want to conform to what you just let me be. If I want to say a word wrong, what's wrong with that? Why can't I just be me? Why do I have to allow myself to be what you want me to be? If I just want to wake up and not wash my ass today, why can't I just not do that? Why I got to be called dirty because that's what I chose to do right now? I'll do it when I get good and darn ready. Like,
well, you got
to
stay at home if you don't want to wash your ass.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
She's just saying, why do I have to march
to
the beat of your drum?
Norms.
Why can't I just, you know, just wake up and just be what I want? If I don't feel like brushing my teeth right now when I wake up, I would do it in 2 hours. Why does that have to be the first thing I do when I wake up? Because that's what we were told.
It don't.
We were taught.
Mm-hmm.
You get up, you wash your face, you brush your teeth. Like, that's the first thing you do. You take the coal out your eye and you get your breath right. She said, I don't want to do it. I want to wake up and I want to drink my coffee first.
Right.
What makes it wrong that I don't do the things in order, in the same order or the same fashion that you do it, because you said it?
It doesn't. It's basically societal conformity norms that make people think that they have to go to high school, go to college, mm-hmm. get married, have the house with the white picket fence, be submissive to your husband, work on a job or be a homemaker, whatever it is. But at no point should you ever have any individuality. At no point should you ever feel like.
And that's what's wrong. They don't want you to have any individuality. Right. They want to control everything you do from the moment you clock in to go to work. And don't get me wrong, there are rules that we must abide by when we're working, mm-hmm. whatever. But when you're saying I can only go to the bathroom for 5 minutes, that's a little extreme. Or I can't, I got to be away. I can't be away from this position for more than 3 minutes.
From the moment you're born, somebody is telling you what to do.
Yep.
What to do. Why aren't they telling you what feels good to you? What feels right to
you? Nobody's asking. And if they do ask, they've already made the decision.
I remember.
Has anybody ever asked, how are you doing today? Mm-hmm. How are you feeling today?
I remember one time I took a picture for school. My grandmother said, why you smile so big on the picture? I said, because I was happy and that's how I wanted to smile. My grandmother showed me in her way, smile like this. You don't want to smile too big. It's too much. Why? Because it's too much for you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is always telling you, if I wanted to smile and show every last one of my teeth in my mouth, that's how I was feeling at that moment in that picture. So then it's a complex. Now I'm thinking about every time I smile, is it too much? You see how they mind fuck you into thinking.
You start second guessing yourself, everything you do
because somebody is telling you
good enough.
That's
is
wrong.
It too much?
Even the way I used to tie my shoes, my cousin said, you don't tie your shoes like that, dummy. You're supposed to do it like this. Now I'm second guessing every freaking thing I do as a child because it's not what you say do. Now it's like, well, if something happens to me, do I tell? Because they told me not to. But I know it's wrong, but should I? Now I got some little girls bullying me or, you know, trying to get me to peer pressure to do things that I know I really shouldn't do, but then they won't be my friends. Mm-hmm. So society is always finding a way to manipulate your mind when in all actuality, you need to unclench, as the video stated, and do what feels good and what feels right to you.
Right.
Period.
Mm.
And ever since I've come to this self-actualization of, you know what? I live in America. I reside in America, but I don't live in America. I live for me. God damn it. I'm going to fly by whatever it is that I say is, I'm going to beat by my own drum. I'm going to do me. And the world got to deal with how I do what I do. Now, am I going to be out here breaking those?
Right.
I feel like
no,
there's
you're
a
not going to be out here.
I feel like there's a happy medium. I'm never going to get to where I'm, you know, teetering the line of societal norms and me. However,
my response doesn't have to be your response.
Correct.
My actions doesn't have to be your actions. So completely understand this. So let me backtrack a little bit when I did say about working. There are rules, there's regulations, there are ordinances that we have to abide by.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying to break those rules, but you should never, if there's something that within respect you want to bring about, then I feel like you should be heard. Doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily mean that you're wrong just because we don't share the same views on something, but don't hold it against me. Don't make me feel like what I said and what I did or my reaction to it is because it's not your reaction. Or don't make me feel like because I did not agree with you that, you know, okay, she's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we only agree just for the sake of getting along.
Mm-hmm.
We only agree when we don't want to agree is to not be the black sheep or the outcast or we do things instead of just being honest and say, hey, well, this is my feelings on this. This is my perception on this. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're right, you're wrong.
Right.
But a lot of people hold that stuff in because what?
They're scared
of not making the decision based on how they feel.
Right.
That's it. And it's
because
it's
because they don't feel like their feelings count.
Or they feel like they might get reprimanded for their feelings.
Right. I have people at my job that literally say, what good is it to report it when nothing's going to change? I don't give a damn. I'm going to say what I have to say because it needs to be said, period.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have 10 with that mentality and one that feels like they're speaking on, they're going to always appear to be the problem. When in all actuality, they are the solution. Y'all the fucking problem because y'all won't speak on what's not right.
Well, that's the problem. No one wants to address the problems, but they want to have solutions to problems that aren't addressed.
But that's just like in a relationship. If two people are in a relationship, but you always pointing out, you don't do this, you don't do that, you did this, you did that. At that point, we're just pointing fingers. We're pointing out the problem. We're not saying what I did to make you act like that. We're not saying, well, maybe I am the problem and this is what we need to work on together. So where I feel like I'm being heard and seen and you're being heard and seen. So we both feel like, you know, we're a part of this relationship and we're meeting minds together versus a dictatorship. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to do what I say. You need to love me the way I want to be loved. You need to do this. You need to do that. Well, nigga, what you need to do for me? You keep telling me what you need.
Mm-hmm.
What about what I need? Is that even considered here? That's the problem. Communication breakdown and just people feeling like they can't speak on stuff or fearful of speaking on stuff. That is like one of the top things as to why videos like this are done.
Mm-hmm.
And until people feel like they are valued, they're worthy of being heard and seen, they're going to continue to live like this.
And something else he said in there, he said it disrupts the nervous system. This is why people stress, they get sick, physically sick, mm-hmm. nauseous. You ever met someone that did not make a decision and got sick or nauseous or
mm-hmm.
They're so stressed out? Like when your nervous system is being disrupted, that is a sign to say, I don't belong here. I don't need to be in this environment. I don't need to be in this space because it's hurting my body.
Yeah.
It's hurting me physically.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
That's why when you start feeling like you physically get sick when you have to go to work, it's time to go.
It's time. It's either time to go or time to stand in your truth on whatever. And if you have stood in your truth and your nervous system still out of whack, it's time to go.
If you in a relationship and you hate going home,
it's time to go.
You can't talk to your significant other.
A change is needed. I'm not going to say it's time to go, but you need to make a change. And whatever that change is,
right.
You got to do what's best for you.
I used to love my job. I had a good time at work, even though I was, like I said, the problem. But it was just a matter of I'm going to work and do my job to the best of my ability. And y'all got to catch up to me. I am the MVP here, period. And always will be. Now, I don't like my job as much anymore because there's someone who now works there who I can't stand. She is lazy. It's all get out. And they coddle her. And don't say anything to her. So this what we doing? So we gonna make the workers work hard and the lazy people feel like this shit okay? Nah. I don't have a problem
because now I need to know, how did you get in? Who got you here? You know, like, how, I'm not saying that, you know,
right.
But it's just weird how the expectation.
It's status. Mm. And you know how it is. If I know the right people,
yeah,
I can get anywhere. But you got to remember, in the United States of America that we live in, there's going to be money and status and, you know, positions that can get you anywhere you want to go. Hard work doesn't all, like they say, hard. If you work hard, you can get anything you want. That's not true.
The Pledge of Allegiance to me is not true, because I don't believe there's justice for all. I think there's justice. It's justice for whoever you are.
You are guilty, and you have to prove yourself innocent.
Yes, it's no innocent until proven guilty. Like, everything that we were taught as children, as you mentioned before, it is a lie.
It is.
It's all a lie. And
it's all about uncovering the lie in your mind so you know where you stand in things.
Yeah. I know we kind of off subject. I am off subject on this part, but if we were talking about the Western medicine and how I was saying, you know, we were talking about just our parents. They're in their 70s and they're still doing very good for themselves, moving about, the mobility, the mind, everything is good. And I know my mom, she's always been an herbalist, always never conformed to what society say. You got a headache, you pop an aspirin, you pop a pill.
Right.
My mother always went back to natural things.
Everything you need to heal yourself is within the earth.
Yes. I'm just saying, like, things that we were taught that was to...
Your body will naturally repair itself. If you have a cold and you don't take cold medicine, eventually your body will come back to regular homeostasis.
It's just crazy that, you know, what we were taught, and just the simple things, I don't know. It's a lot. That is a whole conversation for...
We'll wait for the next show to...
I mean, we can dissect that in series, yeah. To be honest.
Like, let's do a series. We haven't done a series in a long time. Yeah, we'll wait for Sue to come back. We'll do our series.
We can dissect that in series. But women, what can I say? We are so powerful.
We are.
And I'm not negating the men, but women, it's just something about us that we possess, and we don't tap into our greatness. Mm-mm. We don't tap into our greatness at all.
And we need to do better.
A small percentage of us does. But
and look at the women who tap in versus the ones that don't. Mm-hmm. You're going to see two different life expectancies.
Oh,
you're going to see two different types of happiness.
On the outside, is so you can even see it on the outside of these different type of women. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you now, I'm not that woman that taps into her greatness like I should. Mm-hmm. I take in information and I'm learning, even in my 40s, I'm learning more and more about the elements of life. I'm learning more and more about the core depth of living. And right now we're surface living.
And when it's your time and you see the beauty in it,
you're gonna be like,
why didn't I do this sooner?
Yes.
But your time is your time. You can't rush it.
No, you can't. And this is why it's so important to align yourselves with knowledge. Food knowledge. To have you to grow on the inside. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big advocate of expanding your brain. We do not use our brain to the capacity that it is that's in us. The more you read, the more you understand, and read for understanding, read for knowledge.
Comprehension.
Read for comprehension. Just don't read any and everything, because there's so much stuff out there that you can find yourself going down in a rabbit hole with. But just be cautious of the information that you do take in, because our bodies are portals.
And one thing I want to bring you back to is when you said understand. So this is a new way we're going to speak. Everything we want to do from here on out, we want to overdo it. We want to overstand everything. Because if I overstand it, that means I comprehended what you said and I see beyond what the actual understanding is. Because when you understand something, you don't know everything you need to know.
You're just right there. You know baseline information. You understand just that.
So you're a little under. You're a little under. So when you overstand it, I get it fully. I grasp the concept fully and I know more. So we gonna overdo every goddamn thing from now on.
That's right. Because we got that in us today.
There you go.
I love this conversation. I do. I really do love this for us. And I would say as a black melanin, I'm not gonna say black, as a melanin community, it was already in us.
Was.
It was in us from the beginning of time. And it's constantly trying to be erased. It's constantly trying to be ignored. They don't want to see us prosper. They don't want to see us elevate mentally. They don't want to see us in a position where we are. They want to see us in a position where we're scraping and surviving in survival mode. And that's not what we were here intended to do. We're not survivors.
No.
We are conquerors.
Okay.
With that, I can be on a whole tangent. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Never miss an episode on our website at thevarynecessarypodcast.com. You can catch us on all social handles on all podcast platforms at thevarynecessarypodcast. And Sue is not here to take us out. So remember, emotionally, physically, spiritually,
mentally,
self-care
is
very necessary. So hurry up and come back. Bye.